Welcome to CGI Federal Voices, where CGI Federal's experts share insights on the latest in federal government management, policy, and technology. I'm your host, Pete Cironis, coming to you from the CGI Federal Studios in Fairfax, Virginia. We're talking to Victor Falk, Acting Vice President for Emerging Technologies at CGI Federal. Good to see you again, Victor.
It's great to see you, Pete.
I'm a big fan of yours. I love your professional journey, your experience, having worked in the federal government like I did for a couple of decades now. Victor, two decades specifically, driving and securing our nation's critical technologies, United States Navy, Department of Energy, Deputy CIO, CISO, Chief Information Security Officer, Naval Nuclear Propulsion Programs, and University of Arizona Wildcat. I'm a Villanova Wildcat, so we have that sort of brethren going on here. But listen, those are titles. That's a high level of who you are. Talk a bit more about what brought you to CGI and how those experiences in the federal sector has informed your wisdom and what you've brought to the CGI federal team.
Absolutely. So I am an engineer by trade and training, a systems engineer to be specific. I have a background in nuclear engineering as well as rocket propulsion. I started out at the turn of the millennium actually designing rocket propulsion systems for a private company in Southern California. After that, I entered into the U.S. Navy, supporting the U.S. Navy's nuclear propulsion mission. I've done everything from nuclear power plant operations, training the sailors that actually operate the nuclear propulsion plants that go to sea on behalf of our nation, as well as transitioning to our headquarters organization here in Washington, D.C. around 2007 to take on various engineering roles within the Naval Reactors Program. I started out actually working oversight for the design of the Ford-class aircraft carriers, the two nuclear propulsion plants that are on board each of those aircraft carriers. Phenomenal feats of engineering, I gotta say. So I did that for a few years. I've had roles as the assistant training program manager overseeing the training pipeline for all of the sailors that go to sea to safely operate those nuclear propulsion plants. And as you mentioned from the bio, I did actually serve as the deputy CIO around 2011 to 2013 and transitioned into a chief security officer, chief information security officer role for the program thereafter. In all of those roles, it has been focused on delivering technology, state-of-the-art technology to our warfighter, whether it be securing that technology or providing the information systems upon which innovation and communication occur, all wraps around the same theme of delivering on mission.
Here you are at CGI Federal. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about the mission, the development of the Emerging Technologies Program, if it's called that, and what you hope to accomplish, you know, in the short term and then long term overall.
Absolutely. So again, even here, it comes back to mission, right? What the company's mission is ultimately to deliver that value to our federal clients, right? Our federal stakeholders. At our core, we are a business intelligence and decision-making company with a phenomenal track record of management consulting expertise. Underlying all of that is data, right? So one of the things that excites me about working at CGI Federal is the nexus of business intelligence, decision making, providing that expert consultative guidance to our partners in federal government to drive mission action, right? So with data being the core of what we do, and we are very, very good at all of those elements, right? In order for us to be very good at business intelligence and decision making, we have to be very good at everything that surrounds it, right? That's capabilities that generate data, whether it be telemetry off of networks, whether it be IoT, what have you. Systems that generate data, systems that transport data, right? Your terrestrial networks, your low Earth orbit satellite communications, 5G, all of that's infold. And then things that take action on data. Again, coming back to the edge, coming back to human decision makers as well as automated decisions. That's where really the innovation portfolio at CGI Federal comes in.
So we're hitting on something that having walked the walk myself, mm-hmm. I was never short in the federal space as a CTO at two cabinet level agencies of wanting to meet with industry and making sure they understood the challenge and problems
right.
That I had, which is really what our country has or had, and then trying to find that right solution. You hit on 5G, IoT, the edge. I mean, we can spend hours on that. We'll get into some of
sure.
it. But I love the data reference, mm-hmm. right? Data without context is data. It's raw. Data
right.
with context is information. Actionable intelligence, as you discussed, is something where we want to get to. Can you speak to those challenges and what was working when you were a Fed mm-hmm. to discuss that I have this challenge industry, we need your help solving it. It's not about just buying a product. And now being on the other side, how you have and initiate those discussions.
You touched on a really good point. It's about solving problems in the mission, right? You know as well as I do, having been a former Fed, we get sold to all the time, right? And it's not about selling a solution, you know, in search of a problem. It's about taking a problem and partnering on the development of a solution, right? That's operationalizing that data, deriving information and insights from that data, and then developing solutions with emerging technologies to solve a problem for a mission, right? Case in point, one of the things that kind of guides my thinking here at CGI Federal is the dawn of Zero Trust. As soon as Zero Trust became a buzzword, I mean, we've been working on deperimeterization, as it used to be called, for a very long time. It's not really a new concept, right? But as soon as the federal mandates begin rolling out, it becomes a buzzword, and everybody wants to sell you the next product that is going to solve all of your Zero Trust problems. And there is, in most cases, I'm not going to say all, but in most cases, there is no one-stop shop, one product that is going to fit perfectly for any one particular customer problem, right? And so it's not a matter of selling a product or selling a service. It really is doing what CGI Federal, I believe, is really good at, which is providing that expert consultative guidance, right? The upfront problem exploration, the consultation at the C-suite level to identify what the problem statements really are, develop realistic strategies and roadmaps for solving those problems, and then identifying exactly what resources need to be allocated to solve those problems. And we also have the technical expertise and scope to go actually execute on solving those problems.
Well, you rattled off a number of topics that we could spend hours on, but AI, artificial intelligence, ChatGPT, generative AI, deep learning, learning language models. I'm hearing all this. This is like the buzzword in buzzword bingo land inside the Beltway. High level, how do you, Victor, think about AI when it comes to, if I'm going to build a practice around this based on what I know and that there's hype, have you begun to formulate like the CGI message to government? And maybe talk a little bit about just AI in general and how you view it and through your lens and how that'll influence the culture here at CGI Federal.
Well, absolutely. So let's start with the hype cycle, right? We are in one of the most amazing hype cycles that I've ever witnessed in terms of technology. And it's not all hype. Right. When we talk about where we are with artificial intelligence today, you'll hear talking heads say that, you know, we're nowhere near artificial general intelligence. And then you'll hear some that talk about the emergent capabilities that we're seeing in these large language models and suggest that maybe we are a little closer than we expected. I think the reality is that this is an evolution, not a revolution.
Mm.
Large language models have been under development for a very long time. And we've been doing native language processing in the machine learning community for a very long time, right? Neural networks, cascading models, all of these things are longstanding development programs that have evolved. We just happen to be at an inflection point where large companies with hyperscale compute capability have delivered large language models that are capable of being deployed to the public at scale. Right, that's really the game change here. It's not new technology. It's really that the technology and the ingest of data at a massive scale on compute platforms, also at a massive scale, are generally available to the public.
When you see, I should say, an executive order come out, and there are many, trustworthy AI, the ethics, the blueprint for AI that came out in October, how do you begin the process of this is what the government is asking its agencies to look into, enforce, or begin developing AI use cases, whatever. There's a ton of guidance coming out. How do you immerse yourself here at CGI, you, Victor, and your teams, to understand what the government's asking versus being so quick to say we can come in and help?
Staying, obviously, abreast of all of the federal regulatory changes is one aspect of it, right? But on the same, on the flip side, right, you have the consumer, the mission execution elements within all of these federal agencies that want to take these capabilities and get more done with less, right? Mm. In parallel with them are the portions of the organization that are responsible for maintaining the security of that mission, right? And so you've got this give and take, right? There are very difficult decisions being made across the federal ecosystem right now, balancing risk for access to these systems. Because if you look at them, they are not currently generally available in GovCloud type environments, right? So those communications, those connections are occurring from GovCloud into a commercial environment, right? So your accreditation boundaries come into question. Being able to articulate what data is actually flowing from a protected GovCloud environment into this commercial ecosystem, those challenges are all being grappled with by our partners in security as well, right? So being very cognizant of exactly what the communication architectures are for these tools, how our partners in Microsoft and OpenAI and others are applying the responsible AI frameworks, right? What logging is occurring and where, and then how do we tailor implementation of those activities in order to maintain the sanctity of government information? Those are all things we're working on as well.
Okay, so you hit on another really, really cool discussion I have with folks. And again, put on your CISO hat, or that element of Victor that is, you know, thought leader, but also you've been there. You've been a CIO and a CISO. The risk reward, right? There's no silver bullet. We've said that. You mitigate risk to cyber-physical systems, whatever it is. The sky's not always falling. Security doesn't have to be a cost center. We've heard that throughout.
Of course.
How do you do that when there's somebody on one spectrum saying, we can't have an IoT device on our network and we cannot go to the cloud, when we're in a day and age where here you are at CGI Federal and emerging tech is your thing, Victor's thing, but you've been there, you've been in the trenches. How do you have that conversation about, yeah, we mitigate risk, you can't eliminate it, but we darn well have to be recognizing the train left the station. Zero trust, IoT, ubiquitous connectivity is here to stay.
The security function has a reputation of being the party of no, right? And it's unfortunate, right? I think that sometimes the bureaucratic processes, sometimes the day-to-day drudgery of security work kind of gets you in that mentality. But first and foremost, everybody in a security function has to maintain that same commitment to the end goal, which is the mission. It's mission execution, right? Everybody within an organization, whether it be here at CGI Federal or whether it be in any one of our federal partner organizations, we all have an organizational mission. And we all have different contributions to that mission, right? But we have to be focused on the bottom line, right? And that's the trade-off that security professionals have to make every day. And it's incredibly difficult, right? When you look at a project manager, project, cost, schedule, risk, those things get balanced all the time, right? But it's really hard, and I think in order of magnitude harder, to add a true balancing act of security into that equation.
Quantification of risk is a phrase used a lot now. There's always going to be risk.
Absolutely.
NIST is always talking about it, with its capability maturity models, the cybersecurity framework. What are you willing to accept? And then you have to tie it back, and I'm assuming you're going to agree with me on certain devices, certain assets, high-value assets require certain security parameters. 800-53 comes to mind when we think of all kinds of regulation and policy. But government can also do more, do it better, to engage industry, to have these conversations, not buy, sell, seek, solve. Being a former Fed, what could the government community do to engage industry, to have conversations that aren't about a transaction?
It's a fantastic question. So in our discussion that we just had on applying artificial intelligence or these machine learning tool sets, right, and applying a quantification of risk to that movement it all comes back to that zero trust journey, right? And that zero trust journey overlays the existing IT modernization efforts that are underway at every federal agency, right? It's all intertwined. When you talk about quantifying risk, as you mentioned, that quantification of risk varies depending on what data you're talking about and where in your data estate and where in your IT ecosystem those activities are occurring, right? That's the criticality behind those zero trust tenets, right? As you start, you know, collapsing your network perimeter and you start implementing micro-segmentation, as you start really locking down your capabilities, you're also going to better understand where your data is, what your data is, and then be able to better articulate your risk, right? It all goes hand in hand. Now, where can the government and our federal partners better engage industry? As these IT modernization initiatives, zero trust initiatives, and innovation efforts like applying emerging technologies in the AI machine learning sphere, right? Having those conversations at the pre-RFP stage, and even potentially pre-RFI stage, right? Having industry days, engaging with industry to talk at a high level about strategic direction and strategic vision, right? Before a significant amount of effort is put into publishing a 500-page, you know, strategic direction document. We have experts to bring to the table, and we are absolutely committed to the agency mission, and we'll be right there as partners to help develop and inform that strategy well to the left of boom.
I love the verb inform, and if it's not about the RFI and the RFP, I see so many folks chasing that end of year money. Man, if you can just take advantage of, you know, some of our partners in the industry where it's intentional to bring people together, have discussions to say what should inform a potential acquisition. That's wonderful. It was a great answer to a question that I struggled with. It's like we could set up industry days and have people come in, but sometimes it's just, can you just come in and understand the things that I face as a federal employee and then cut back to me with how you think you can help solve some of those problems. So I appreciate that. Okay, let's get into it. Web 3.0, what is it to you? What should people think about when they hear the term, and why does it matter?
Great topic and great questions. So, but Web 3.0 really is a next generation concept for looking at distributed, decentralized computing, right? The internet as we know it today, very centralized resources. You connect to a server, that's your data source. The internet of the future largely won't be entirely that way, right? You look at things like what we have with cryptocurrency, right? Distributed ledger technology. Cryptographic assurance across a vast swath of disparate compute components, right? None of which are necessarily under the same common control and ownership, right? It really is a foundation for a next generation, trusted, open, decentralized internet concept. Now, today, that's a revolutionary concept. And I say that in stark contrast to what we were just talking about from an artificial intelligence perspective, which was really an evolutionary concept. When we look at what blockchain and distributed ledger technologies, all of the and smart contracts and all of these buzzwords, technologies that fit within this Web3 concept, right? They are revolutionary. The international regulatory regimes weren't necessarily ready for them when they first emerged, right? There has been no shortage of hype cycle on cryptocurrency, for example, right? And you look at, you know, what has occurred in the cryptocurrency markets, there has been a phenomenal hype cycle, a phenomenal bubble, and, you know, a slight bursting of that bubble into a little bit more realistic implementation. And we're still at the point where we're talking about how do we regulate those industries, right? And so it being a revolutionary concept, implementation of these technologies is going to be very different than what you're going to see for artificial intelligence and machine learning at large scale. In this particular case, the education of stakeholders on what the technologies are and what use cases actually fit in a Web 3.0 architecture and what don't is a very, I'm not going to say challenging, but it's something we have to approach with a strong level of commitment because the technologies and the architecture really is that different.
Can I jump in just because you're using a term that any enterprise architect listening today is like, you know, probably just high-fiving in the air to you, hopefully, again, not while they're driving. But architecture. Mm-hmm. Architect, invest, implement. Tenets of Enterprise Architecture 101. Mm-hmm. I used to, again, say, and I still do, that we have a tendency to implement or invest it, put it in, and hope it works. Sure. But architecture's so important to thinking about what you're hitting on in this word mm-hmm. distributed ledgers, distributed energy resources, the IoT, yes. the zero trust. There's so much that's different about how we think about architecture today. It's not a closed off data center. Mm-hmm. Is that informing a lot of your emerging technology focus here at CGI Federal?
It is. It is. All of those things that you mentioned are critical, right? And we have a substantial amount of our efforts that do revolve around being responsible and sustainable in our approach. I think as it applies to this particular technology and what architectural considerations are really exciting for us, when you try to solve the data exchange, trusted data exchange problem across disparate enterprises, think interagency sharing of data. Think about potentially sharing of healthcare information across disparate enterprise networks. The challenges associated with doing that securely are surmountable, but they're not trivial, right? What these Web 3.0 technologies provide us the opportunity to do is to execute secure data exchange. And it's a stark contrast from what a lot of people think in terms of cryptocurrency, right? We're not talking cryptocurrency. We're not talking NFTs. And
can I just interject? Because people associate, oh, he said blockchain, that's mm-hmm. crypto. No, it's not. No, it's not NFT. But blockchain is a foundational component to all the great stuff you're saying. So sorry for interjecting. Keep rolling, man.
So again, yeah, blockchain is foundational to it, right? We also have patented attribute-based access control technologies that we overlay with the blockchain to provide a very comprehensive, secure data exchange capability built on these technologies. Case in point, you can share intelligence information from one agency to another, integrating the identity and access management stacks of each of these different agencies without having to merge them, right? We can respect the sovereignty of each of those agencies' network environments and bring them together in a secure data exchange solution that limits access to information but has all of the cryptographic traceability of who accessed,
immutability
when they accessed, the immutability.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
Right? So those capabilities are really exciting to us. Being able to unlock efficient and secure data exchange across agencies and industry is going to unlock additional capabilities in terms of healthcare research, secure transmittal of, you know, potentially threat information, right? When we look at all of the Homeland Security use cases, when you look at the different agencies that are involved in the Homeland Security mission, you have federal agencies, state, local, tribal. All of those ecosystems are very, very different. And executing efficient data exchange across a fabric that different really lends itself to a solution like a distributed ledger technology.
And we want to trust that data as citizens, residents, that the data we're getting has integrity
Absolutely.
Built into it. So, all right, we're going to close it out with a parting shot. I love it. We've talked a lot about a lot of things, and anybody driving or listening or jogging, what would you want to leave with folks today? How would you encapsulate just the topic of, you know, mitigating risk, art of the possible, the future looks bright, government, industry, academia, state, local, we're all in it together. It takes a village. There's mm-hmm. not a one-stop shop. What do you want to leave with the audience?
Specific to the role that I play here at CGI Federal in driving emerging technologies, one of the things that I want to leave with all of our partners and anyone who's listening is the concept of emerging technologies in solving today's real problems is not necessarily an expensive one, right? When we understand the mission and when we truly partner together to take today's emerging technologies and field them, we can cost effectively deliver change, right? And ultimately, what we're delivering is value on mission, right?
Well, I appreciate the value on mission. I appreciate your passion. I was educated, informed, and enlightened. I love that you were able to, you know, provide a bit, a bite, and an insight, a bit of information in bite-sized chunks with insightful content. And CGI Federal is lucky to have you, and so is government to have you still in the Beltway. So thank you, Victor, for being a part of the conversation.
It's been a pleasure. Awesome. Looking forward to the next time.
CGI Federal Voices is a production of CGI Federal, a wholly owned subsidiary of CGI Incorporated. Michael Hardy is the podcast producer. The podcast engineer is Lexi Floor, assisted by Donovan Samuel. You can find CGI Federal Voices on your preferred podcast platform or watch the video version on YouTube. Subscribe or follow and spread the word to your colleagues. Learn more about CGI Federal's solutions and services at cgifederal.com. Insights you can act on.